I'll be honest with you, church, and this is one of these messages where in the midst of it, I'll do a lot of confessing. Y'all just bear with us, but I intend to leave today with a clear conscience and a right soul toward God. I don't know if any of you have been where I've been. I'm persuaded you have. It seems like you can't get where you want to get with God, and it just seems like you almost get there, and then you're not there, and you're a little closer, and you're a little further. And I pray that this is a morning that we just break on through. I've been at the door of God's forgiveness, and I've been at the door of God's restoration. And I find myself not going through and holding on to so many of my mistakes and the things of the past. And this week, it started last week when we tried to preach during the sunrise service about the questions that Job asked, who can create a clean thing out of an unclean one? And I had meant that morning, I guess, as I was studying to mention the 51st Psalm. And God never allowed me to go there. And on the way home, I questioned the Lord. You know, we're riding down the road, and I know I've got that dumb look on my face like I always do, and I'm really quiet. And I know Kena's wondering, why am I so quiet? And I'm sitting there talking to the Lord, saying, Lord, I don't understand. The 51st Psalm was so clearly on my heart to mention. And the Lord said, son, that's for next Sunday. And so we come this morning, and this 51st Psalm has absolutely drudged my heart all week. It is a prayer of a man that knows God, but is strayed away from God and is looking for repentance and restoration. And I believe as children of God, so many of us, we love the Lord, and God knows our heart. He knows that we love Him. But sometimes we get in that place where it just seems like you're in a rut and you can't get out. You know what you need to do, and you know what benefit it is to do it, but you just, for whatever reason, can't find the will and the desire to move forward. And I've been that way for about the last 4 or 5 months, to be honest with you. It robs from you the very direction that God has for your life. It can even get to the place to where if you don't attend to it, it can cause you to question where your standing is with God. And all through these last 3 or 4 months, it seemed like it was one step forward. And do you ever feel that way? Like it's one step forward and it's two steps back. And Kenny, I've come to believe this morning that maybe what I've been trying to do is create a clean thing out of an unclean one. And I can't do it. I don't even have the will to do it. Paul said in one place, he said, there's the desire in my heart to do the right thing, but then how to perform it, I find not. There's that wrestling within our soul between good and evil, the things of the world and the things that would draw us away from God, the things that are contrary to the Word of God. And yet, God lives in us and is constantly desired to draw us closer into a life, and you can like this word or not, but a life of holiness with Him. The Bible teaches us without holiness, no man shall see God. And I find myself, Tabitha, you sung that song about Gomer. I find myself so often before the Lord feeling so dirty in my conscience and so unworthy to even serve the Lord. But then the Spirit of God begins to stir within my heart and bring some things to my remembrance. In this 51st Psalm, David had committed a great sin. He is a man after God's own heart. Do I have anybody in here in the house of God that is a person after God's own heart? Do you really love the Lord? Oh, I look at you, my dear brothers and my sweet sisters. And I've watched you, and I know you've got a desire, and I know you love the Lord. I see it in you, and I feel it in your heart when we hug and whenever we encounter one another. But so often, it's like we can't quite get to where God wants us to be. And here in this 51st of David, David had made a great sin and a great error. David was supposed to be out on the battlefield with his men, and he sat at home at his castle. Let me say this, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And how many sad stories have I heard of people who just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time? Well, I want to tell you, it's a tragic thing to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. When we're in the wrong place at the wrong time, things happen in our lives and they cause destruction. So we've got to be careful of where we rest our heads. We got to be careful of where we lay our minds. And surely though, if there's a such thing as being in the wrong place at the wrong time, don't you believe there's a such thing as being in the right place at the right time? And don't you believe that the house of God is the right place? And don't you believe that right now it's the right time? So often in Scripture we're reminded that today is a day of salvation. Today, if you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord. And while we're not promised tomorrow, we have right now. We have today. Nathan had come to David and told David a story. And I'm going to read that. But before we get there, we know that David looked out and saw Bathsheba. And she was a beautiful lady, and he began to lust after her, had her brought to his palace. And I know that this is a scandalous story, but it's real and it still goes on in the world and even in the church today. His lust for her, what he saw, he had her brought to the palace. He laid with her. She was pregnant. Her husband at the time was gone fighting the battle. And you'll find her husband, Uriah, was a man in Scripture. He's noted as one of David's great men. He's a great man of valor on the battlefield. And David, while this great man was on the battlefield, saw his wife and lusted after her and slept with her. And now Uriah's caught in the middle of all this. David knows now that she's pregnant, and he wants to cover up his sin. So he has Uriah brought home. Says, relieve him of his battle duties and bring him home. And what he's hoping is that Uriah will come in and go in with her. And now that pregnancy is covered because Uriah is home. But you know what? He wouldn't go in. He was a man that was so consecrated to God and so consecrated to the battle. He said, my men are out sleeping in the field. I will not go into the house and lay with my wife. And so David has another plan. This is where sin will take you. And the Bible said, David said, all right, I'm going to send you back to the battlefield. And he sent instructions to the big general and said, whenever you get in the heat of the battle, pull away from Uriah so that Uriah is killed. If I can't fix it one way, I'll manipulate it and I'll fix it another. And now David has weaved himself into a great web of sin. Sin will take us further than we ever wanted to go. Sin, whenever it brings forth something, usually in the end, it brings forth death. It'll kill your marriage. It'll kill your church. It'll kill your relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you this morning, sin will destroy us if we allow it. And so, the Bible said, David has this to happen. Uriah is killed. And in the back of David's mind, maybe he thought, nobody else knows. And I've come to preach to you a message on this very thought this morning. God knows everything. God knows everything. You know what I do when I'm in front of you. You know what I do whenever we experience one another and we have fellowship. You think you know me, but you don't know me like God knows me. And let me say this. There's nothing that I've ever done that has been hidden from the eyes of God. God is able to see where I'm at. He saw what I did last week. He saw what I did last night. He saw what I did a year ago. God knows everything about me. David has convinced himself maybe that, oh, well, we'll just go on and everything will be all right. But there is this constant block between him and God. Because of the sin in his life, he can't find that restoration. He can't find that relationship. He wrote the 38th Psalm in the same state. And in that 38th Psalm, you can see and hear a man that was desiring the presence of God, but God was nowhere to be found. Know this morning, church. It's our sin that separates us from God. And this morning, it's not you and you and you that's standing in the need of prayer. It's me. I know there are things that I do in my life that separate me from the pure fellowship that we and I can have with God. And so, maybe David feels like nobody else knows. He knows. He's not able to be close with God like the desire of his heart is. And in this of the 12th chapter of the book of Samuel, the Bible tells us God sends Nathan, the little man of God. And in chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. Maybe this morning the Lord sent Russell unto you. Maybe this morning, you know what's so strange? Maybe this morning the Lord sent Russell unto Russell. I tell you, this message has gotten down into my heart and my soul. It's caused me to examine myself. The Lord sent Nathan unto David. He came to him and said, and this is chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. We'll get to the 51st verse of chapter of Psalms in a moment. It said there was two men in the city. One was a rich man and one was a poor man. The rich man had exceeding flocks. He had exceeding herds. He had a bunch of lambs, if you'll have it. But there was a poor man, and I'll stop right there and just tell you the story. But there was a poor man. All he had was this one little ewe lamb. And oh, how he loved that lamb. He would take that lamb and bring it to the supper table. Is there anybody in the house of God that have got strange like me and my wife have, and you feed the dog every now and then as you're sitting there? And I used to think that was the grossest thing in the world, but you get to love them. They're part of your family, and you find, she's going, God help, honey, you've told this now. And that man loved that lamb. He fed it from his table. He nursed that lamb. And here, David is hearing this. This is an old shepherd boy. This is something that knew a thing or two about holding a lamb and how to take care of a lamb. If you'll have it, this is right down his wheelhouse. This is right to his heart. And old David said, come on, Nathan, preach it. Tell me some more about that little lamb. Nathan said, that rich man, a stranger come through. That rich man took that poor man's lamb, the lamb that he loved so much, and slew that lamb and prepared it for that stranger. David said, the man that has done this, surely he shall die. He shall restore for him, and he shall die because he had no pity. And now David is puffed up in his own self-righteousness. How dare somebody do something like that? Can you imagine the horror in his heart when Nathan looked at him and said, David, you are that man. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost of God works in the life of a believer? And sometimes you hear a message and God points a finger at you and says, you are that person. This is to you. So often we hear a man preach a message on repentance, and when it's over, we meet him at the door and say, oh, preacher, you told him all about it. I'm telling you, this message is not to you and y'all. This message is to the man that stands behind your pulpit and that you call your pastor. Yeah. Thou art the man. Nobody likes to be pointed out. Nobody, you know, if we're in the midst of a service and I call one of you out and started to point out, boy, that'd be offensive, wouldn't it? And that would be wrong. Let me say this. There are men that stand behind the pulpit and they're trying to point out everybody else's sin and all that kind of garbage and stuff like that. That ain't God. Man, just preach the gospel, let it fall where it falls. God will point out who He wants to point out. God will draw who He wants to draw, and God will speak to those who are listening to His voice. What do you do when thou art the man? What do you do when it's you and you know it's you and you know you've got stuff between you and God and you know there's sin in your life that you've not fessed up with God? What do you do in that moment? David went in and wrote the 51st Psalm, and he gives us some leeway, and he gives us a path to repentance. And I want to say this, along with this message, there is a thought, a pathway to repentance. The good news is I don't have to stay out there separated from God. I don't have to stay out there with sin in my life causing that separation in our relationship. I can be restored, and you can be restored this morning. David starts out and he says, have mercy upon me, God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. I'm going to tell you this morning, there's only one that can blot out our transgressions. It is the Lord. It takes the blood of Christ. And this morning, listen, if any man sin, thank God we have a remedy. We have one that stands in our behalf, making intercession for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God this morning we have somebody to go in our behalf. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Do you ever just feel dirty? Now, I'm not talking to a lost and dying world. I'm talking to you and I that call ourselves the children of God. Do you ever feel dirty? Do you ever feel separated? It's like you know God loves you. You know you're saved. But you just feel unworthy. And you feel unclean. I don't know that I've ever had a time in my life that I've struggled anymore to keep my mind and my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and what I've been through in the last 6 or 7 months. And I know that I'm not alone. It seems like the biggest battle that I've ever fought in my life, just to try and stay close to the Lord. And the truth is, I get clean and something else comes along, and I get clean and something else comes along. And let's be honest about that something else. That's not God's fault. That's my fault. There is an accountability that goes with being a child of God. It's not sin's fault that I do what I do. God has given me, through the blood of Jesus Christ, the right to say no and close the door. But you know what we do? You know what I do? We crack the door open. We creak the door open. And sin comes into our life like a flood. David said, wash me thoroughly. He said that word thoroughly means throughout. Now I'm going to submit something to you this morning. I don't need to be saved again. I don't. I got born again when I was 12. The Lord's never left me nor forsook me. But I'm going to tell you what I stand in need of so often is to have my conscience washed of the crud and the stuff that comes into my life. Is there anybody besides your pastor
would say, Lord, wash me thoroughly. I've been through some stuff. The world has crept in. I've dirtied myself up. Thank God when I dirty myself up, there's one that can cleanse me thoroughly from the inside out. He said, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. I'm going to tell you, God can never fix you until you're willing to admit to God your problem. God can't fix you until you're willing to fess up and tell Him that you have sinned and you need His help. I have tried to clean myself up. I've tried to make myself right. I've tried to do this and I've tried to do that. And I have found that I am an utter miserable failure at cleansing myself. But thank God, I know one who can cleanse us to the uttermost. Amen. Impure thoughts lead to adverse actions in our lives. And our minds get turned and our minds get twisted. And God is saying to Silver City Church, set your mind and your heart upon the Lord. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Now let me say this about sin in our lives. Oh, it affects our relationship with the people that we love. If I get sin and bring sin in my marriage, it ain't going to be long. It's going to affect me and my wife. Absolutely will. If I bring sin into my church, it's going to affect my relationships with the people in church. Wherever I bring sin, everywhere it goes, it has the touch of death on it. Everywhere it goes, it mars everything up. But surely, listen, surely where sin did abound, grace doth much more abound. And when I bring grace and pray grace into the picture, everything that sin has marred, grace can fix it. David said, Lord, against thee and against thee only have I sinned. Brothers and sisters, you say it don't hurt nobody. You say that it's just between me and God. I'm going to tell you that may be true, but I'm going to tell you this. Listen, when we sin, we defy the very God of heaven. He said, against thee have I done this evil. I've sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that you might be justified when you speak and clear when you judge. And here's the feeling of his whole being. I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Do you ever get to feeling sorry for yourself and say, oh God, I ain't nothing but just an old low-down sinner. Well, I may be saved, but I ain't no good for nothing. I don't feel like I'm good for nothing. I don't feel like I can do anything for the kingdom of God because I'm just an old sinner. Brothers and sisters, if you've been saved, you're more than just an old sinner. You're a redeemed child of God. Live up to your heritage. You're not just an old sinner that's doomed to fail. You've got the hope of glory inside of you. And by the way, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He said, verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. God, I have to come clean about where I'm at. Sin has so much shame with it. Does sin bring shame into your life? Anybody else ashamed? I know this ain't pleasant. Hey, this will help us as much as anything that God can give us. I'm up here. I'm at the point of the spear. My God in heaven, if you knew what my heart felt like right now. There are times I feel like the biggest failure. I can't tell you the times I walk in the doors of the church and go, God, how can I be any good to these people? I've even gone as far over the last 3 or 4 weeks to say, well, maybe God is done with me and my time is up. You know why I feel separated? You know why I felt separated? I felt separated because there has been some stuff in my life. It will confuse you about your purpose when sin gets involved. But I'm telling you, when you get good and clean with God, you can see clearly, and the burden of God can flow through your heart and your life, and you can look at a people and say, these are my people. And almost cheat yourself and do destruction to yourself because you're out of the will of God. How pitiful. I'll close here in a minute. Oh, he said, you desire truth in the inward parts. So you gotta, and I've gotta be truthful with God. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. I want to look every eye for just a minute, every eye. How long has it been since you've been honest with God about where you're at? How long has it been since you've been honest with yourself? Listen, I'm going to tell you what the death of a church is. The death of a church is a church that never looks and circumspects and looks at themselves and says, we're all right, we're all right, we're all right. And all of a sudden God begins to withdraw His Spirit from the church. We're all right, we're all right. And I hear them all the time on the radio. They say the right things, but you don't feel or hear the touch of God in what they say. And I'm telling you, without the touch of God, without the love of God, we're a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal, but the touch of God is what moves the heart. We can't go through the motions. Listen to what David said. Here is the cure. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall. Notice he didn't say I could be or I might be. He said, I shall be. Make me. He said, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. Is there anybody else in here like your pastor ever been through the chastisement of God and found out that's not a good place to be? It's like your soul gets numb. Oh, do I have anybody in here that has suffered from a soul that has gone cold? It gets numb. And you want to feel, and the things you used to say that bring tears, and the things that you used to hear that brought tears, and the things that used to move you are far removed from you. And it's like you can't feel, and the church is suffering from a numbness and a coldness, but God is a cure for that numbness. But will we be honest and say, God, this is where I'm at? See, it'll be on us once we've heard the word of God. Purge me, wash me. He said, I shall be whiter than. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you've broken. How long has it been since your heart's been able to rejoice? There's nothing I like better than to sit right there and feel God stir and feel God move and get up in the middle and just, because you can't help it. I'm going to tell you, before this message come this morning, there's no way. Good, honest confession, right? I've sat there for so many weeks. Get up and me be just as flat as a flitter. I don't know what that means, but pretty flat. And so long for and desire the joy of the Lord in my heart. David said, it's His joy that is my strength to sit there and wither away and to dry up. Not because of... Now, here's where a lot of men make a huge mistake. Caleb, remember this. Fellas, remember this. Dave and Brady. When we get cold and indifferent, it's never the church's fault. Now, men get away from God and cold and indifferent, and the first thing they do is turn on the very people they're supposed to love and support and encourage, and they begin to pistol whip them from behind the pulpit. And it's not the church's fault that we are not where we should be. And then they've got a man leading them that's got sin in his heart. And they got a man leading them that's beating them. I'm telling you, we can fracture the body of Christ that way. Oh me, Lord, it's not them, it's me. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you've broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Believe it or not, verse 10, this is a crypt de la creme. This is the top of the mountain. This is where every bit of it rests. Create in me a clean heart. God done some wonderful things in the book of Genesis. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the firmament and the heaven. He created the animals. He said, let us make man in our own image. He created man. But I would submit to you, the greatest creative process that God has ever had is when He creates in us a clean heart. There's nothing like a clean heart, and God has to create it. God has to make it. I've been trying to create a clean heart within myself. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it takes the grace of God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit. Roger, we talked about it this morning in Sunday school. There's nothing worse than when God withdraws His fellowship with you and you cannot feel His presence. David said, God, you can do anything, but please don't take away your Holy Spirit, because it's my peace. It's what Brother Russell said. He's my comfort. I don't remember who said that. He's my relationship with God. How long will we sit back and do nothing about our heart's situation? Church, I'll tell you this. Silver City Church, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has the power and the ability. Now let me say it this way. God working through the church has the power and the ability to touch countless lives around us. But listen, God will not work through us if our hearts and our consciences are not clean toward God. And I know probably what you're thinking. What has Russell done? Boy, he's got himself in a mess. You know what? It's not a great big sin that has lured me away or cast me away from God. It's not dealing with the little stuff. It's allowing it to build up and growing colder and colder. And the greatest sin we have is becoming cold toward each other and toward God. And what I'm telling you this morning, we can have restoration. But you've got to be honest with God and honest with yourself. Stand to your feet this morning. Get us a song, if you will. I do not want to go out those doors the same way that I come in the last several weeks. I refuse to. I refuse to be the pig that goes back to its squalor. God, hear my words, and God, perform within me that only you can. In one place it said, He gives more grace. and these things that I'm battling in my life and these things that you're battling in your life, we need more grace. And I'm just asking, is there anybody in the house of God got a desire or need to come and pray and walk out of here different than the way you came in? If you believe that He can change your situation and your life, you're tired of sitting there numb and cold this morning, you know what the Lord Jesus Christ says to you and I? Come. Come. He don't want you to live that way. Come. Come and be restored. What you got this morning, Steve?